can't wait to see him again and hug him, because of those two I came to Jesus. I got my first Bible from Mrs. Kuhn. Oh man, she had Holy Ghost eyeballs. She could look right through you. She knew exactly what you did all week if you did anything wrong. She was amazing. But I just love her. And God is not unrighteous to forget that work of love that she did towards me, and which we show toward one another, in that we minister to the saints or serve the saints one to the other, and do minister continually. You know, I love Mike Pence. I really love him. He's the new vice president. And I saw him on a video in Israel, of all places. I saw Mike Pence talking about our support for Israel. And our guide is totally in love with Mike Pence. And he's the one that showed us the video. We had three guides in Israel, and Miriam was one, but this was another man. And he is just so blessed. And Mike Pence actually said something that really showed Christian character. He said, "I am a servant leader, a servant leader." And of course, that's what Jesus tells us to be, isn't it? It says, "He that's greatest among you shall be the servant of all." And so I'm in love with this guy, and I'm so glad he's our vice president. And I'm just hopeful and just praying, and we're going to see some of this in the Word today, about our nation getting better and turning to the Lord. Because I know that Mike Pence is a strong Christian, very strong. And him and Donald Trump are very close. And, you know, a lot of Mike Pence can run off, rub off on Donald Trump, and get him to grow in the Lord and to stop saying bad things, you know, maybe. We'll see how that goes, right? Okay, let's move on now. So the last part of chapter 6 of Hebrews is all about hoping in the promises and believing the promises of God for you. And I'm so glad that God took a whole half a chapter to make sure that we're solid in this. And so let's read verse 11. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Hoping in the Lord, that He sees you, He sees what you're doing, He's blessed with any service towards Him, and He has saved you by His grace through Jesus Christ. And He wants us to hope to the end concerning all the promises, because it says in verse 12, "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." The promises. Well, we know that there are 7,600 promises in the Bible. And you might want to ask yourself, how many of them do I know? Just think what you might be missing. Man, to get involved with all the promises of the Bible. And I believe with all my heart that God wants us to know that He means from Genesis to Revelation for all of us. And so what He does next is He takes us right back to Father Abraham, who is in Genesis chapter 12. And He made such great promises to Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic covenant, the agreement that God made with Abraham. And we are heirs to those promises, and God wants us to know that. So let's just read here in verse 13. It says, "Now when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." I love this. And you know, when I first read that, I thought, wow, God swore by himself. What does that look like? And actually, if we turn that right now to Genesis 22, we can see it, where God swore by himself to Abraham. Genesis 22:16. So we go way back to the first book in the Bible, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 22. And verse 16. Now this is the place where God asked Abraham to offer up for a sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac. Isaac means laughter, and he was probably a laughing boy and a beautiful kid. He was about 14 years old when Abraham was told to just lift a knife and to sacrifice him to the Lord. Now Abraham knew by faith that even if he had to go through with that, that God would raise him from the dead, that is Isaac. Because we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham had received the promise that through Isaac his seed would be blessed. And Isaac was too young to have a baby, and so Abraham knew he was going to have a bunch of babies, and that those babies would become babies which would become babies. And so he knew by faith in God's word, because God had told him that it would be through Isaac that his seed would be multiplied, that if God had to, he would raise him from the dead. So he, by faith, was going to obey God's word. But as you know, when he had the knife up in the air, an angel was sent to stop him from killing him. And there was a ram stuck in a thicket next to him that he could go ahead and sacrifice. And Abraham prophetically said to his servants, he said to his son Isaac, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Yes. And did he not do that? He sent Jesus Christ, his son, the second person of the Godhead, to die for our sins. God provided himself for sacrifice. And that was a prophetic, messianic prophecy that Abraham gave to his son when his son answered, where's the sacrifice, to his father. And so that is awesome. But now in verse 16 is where we get God swearing to Abraham by himself, because he could swear by no greater. God said, by myself have I sworn. So there it is, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, God gave his only son for us, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, verse 18, if you have a study Bible, you'll have a prophetic star by that verse, because this is definitely a messianic prophecy. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And this seed that he's talking about is the Lord Jesus. This is a messianic prophecy, because we're told this clearly in the book of Galatians. It doesn't say seeds as plural, but seed, who is Christ. Bam, right there, book of Galatians. And that's why that star there is in your study Bible, or that little note, that this is a prophetic word concerning the Messiah. Now, these promises were given to Abraham and to his seed. And how beautiful it is to know that as we accept Christ into our hearts, that we become Abraham's seed. If you be Christ's, you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it would include the promises given to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, just like he believed God and it was accounted or put to his account in heaven as righteousness. So we, this is the last verse in Romans chapter 4, as we accept Christ and believe in his resurrection, his death for us, that we are receiving the Abrahamic promise. And it was a shadow and a foretelling of that beautiful thing. That's what we're told in the book of Romans so clearly. And so wonderful to know that all the promises, standing on the promises of God, they belong to you and I. And God wants you to know that. That's why he takes such effort in the whole last half of chapter 6 of Hebrews to emphasize this point. So let's go back now to chapter 6 And read next verse 14, which is actually quoting what I just read from Genesis that was given to Abraham, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham is in heaven today, and he patiently endured, living in tents, looking forward to the house that was not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is also in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll get there. But you know, he endured to the end, and he obtained the promise. He's with the Lord today, home in heaven, and he, if he can look down, he's looking down upon countless peoples from all the families of the earth and all the nations of the earth that have accepted Christ and become part of those, that heavenly multitude of, like the stars of heaven, like the sand upon the seashore. Because Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we go on now. Verse 16, it says, for men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So it was a human custom to swear to one another, like making a contract, my word is as good as oak kind of thing. And so that's a confirmation. Now, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, so mentioning us as heirs of promise again, the immutability of his counsel, or that word means the permanent character of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And so he did. That by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So in verse 11, we have the full assurance of hope, hold it till the end. And then in verse 18, we have to lay hold upon the hope set before us. This is part of the helmet of salvation, to keep our brains from believing anything else. We are hoping until the end for God's help, God's promises to be real in our lives, and to eventually move into eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? We're laying hold of it. Now, I'd like to give you this in the Living Bible. I like the Living Bible. It says, he has given us both his promise and his oath. Two things we can completely count on. You can put all of your eggs in his basket. And that's where my eggs are. I mean, I am trusting Jesus. And he's going to be my dad, my husband, my older brother, yes, and even my president. And because our citizenship is in heaven, brothers and sisters. And you know, we pray in Jesus' name that President Trump will pray to the Lord of heaven and be able to do the things he's promised. Because only God can do those things. And so, I hope that Mike Pence has a great witnessing idea, that he can witness and share Jesus and pray, join hands with President Trump and pray to God to heal our nation, to actually be able to look in central Michigan and see businesses rising up. Oh, I want to see that. Oh, you want to see that. We want to see this for our people in Michigan and those middle states that had so many good things going on a few years ago, but they're gone. But they can be again if God so chooses, and may God bless it. May God do it. It only can be done by the Lord. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that try to build it. And so we just need to keep looking to him. Amen? Asking him for his help in all things and do what we can to help. Okay, now, with that, we want to go ahead and look at verses 19 and 20 here in Hebrews 6. that actually show us where this hope lies. And by actually the blood of Jesus, this hope is made possible of us holding promises from the Lord. Now it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Now every Jewish believer knew what that meant, because they knew about the temple, they knew about the tabernacle, and they knew that there was a veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Between the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant is where the glory of God dwelt. And only one person was allowed to go in there, the high priest. And just once a year, throwing blood, he had to go in and sprinkle blood in order to come into the Holy of Holies before the presence of God, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the reason the high priest would come is to receive forgiveness for the people once a year. And so here we're told, and they would understand this clearly, this hope which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil through the Shekinah glory of God. And the next verse explains that further. Where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we studied Melchizedek, and we saw a couple weeks ago that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament to Father Abraham. And so he is the forerunner to enter through the veil to the Shekinah glory of God, throwing his own blood. For he died once and for all. And at his death, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, showing that we, us, have an entrance before the glory of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he is our high priest, not just for a while, but forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Amen, praise God. And so we can actually do that, get into the Holy of Holies before the Shekinah glory of God, laying in our beds. Wow. Imagine if you had to wake up in the morning before you could speak to God, you had to reach over to a bowl of blood and sprinkle it. And that wouldn't even be enough because you're not the high priest. And that wouldn't be enough because it's not time yet in the year. But no, because of what Jesus did, ripped open the veil. And there the glory of God is, that you can lay in your bed in the morning and enter the Holy of Holies and be before the Shekinah glory of God. He is changing us from glory to glory. As we look in the face of Jesus, we behold him, and we are changed from glory to glory. The Father is changing us into the image of his Son before the Shekinah glory because of what Christ did. Oh my, when we remember him, which we're going to do today, so much he has done and given to us the promises of Abraham. And it's just the beginning as we go through the Bible and actually discover 7,600 promises that belong to us. God is so good. Now with that, the Lord has been dealing with me about one of the promises in the Old Testament, and it happens to be in the same chapter that we saw the book of remembrance that's written there, that God remembers what you do for him. And so I'd like to turn with you to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. So we remember we were in verses 16 and 17. Let's go back. Now Malachi is right before the New Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So we go to Malachi and chapter 3, verse 10. Now, I've been having problems that God needed to straighten out in my life, and he's used this promise so beautifully. We have a family member that needs financial help, and so we began to help that person and keep track each week of how much we spent, and then I would deduct that from my tithe. And I thought that was okay, even though I had a check in the spirit once in a while. You know, I kind of battled with the Lord about it, said, Lord, you know, we don't have a lot of money here, so I'm going to take this from our tithe. And so the Lord began to speak to me about it, and I went to the pastor's prayer group. We meet every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, the pastors of the church, to pray together. And I confessed that to them, that God was dealing with me about that. So he gave me this verse on that subject. He said, bring you all the tithes. That's a tenth part of your income. Whatever money comes in, the first 10% belongs to the Lord. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And prove me now therewith. I want you to test me, Mark. I want you to put me to the test, that you can take care of this family member and keep up with your tithes, and I'm going to take care of you. I want you to test me on that. You know, most of the time God tests us, right? Think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you if some strange thing has happened to you. He says that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold, and that when it's tried, it might be found to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ at his appearing. But this is a place where I can test God. And it's hard for me to test God in the flesh. Lord, we're kind of operating close to the line right now, and this would be a really expensive situation for us to take care of the family member and give you the tithe. And so there was a little argument going on between me and the Lord. And guess who wins? But it says, bring the tithes to the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So, I thought, God, I've got to do this. And so we did. And in the last month, we've received $400 more than our normal income from three unpredictable places. And to me, and of course, you know, this is a personal thing, I know it's the Lord saying to me, you did the right thing, and I can bless you. With this idea of being overflowed and meeting the need. And so finding this out again, because the first time I found it out was in 1977. But this is something that you need to know. And I hate to preach on money. Everybody knows this. I've had elders say to me, Mark, you need to preach on money a little bit. I said, oh man, I hate those guys that beg for money on the radio. And so I kind of overreacted, and so I don't ever preach on it. But today's the day, brothers and sisters, because this is the best thing that could ever happen to you, especially if you're struggling financially. Whenever somebody comes to me for counseling for financial struggle, I say, are you tithing? And if they're not, that's the way out. Because God makes a promise, and He cannot lie. He made a promise and an oath to Abraham, and He makes a promise from the Old Testament in the full counsel of His Word, that if you will tithe, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you will not be able to contain. My God will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, He will. And that's a promise. If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will supply everything you need for whatever you need. It's as simple as that. And I've seen this in my life over and over again. So I'd like to read to you the next verse, because he didn't stop at verse 10. He wanted to show me some things. He says in verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer." I'm going to bind Satan from your finances. "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." Hallelujah! I like that one. He's going to bind Satan from holding back funds from what I need. He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. "Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts." And so he will bring what you need just in time. He's our 11th hour God. And he always comes through. Always. You cannot outgive God. You can try, but you can't. You cannot outgive God. There's no way. And so this is a great thing to know. And so I'd like to share with you what happened in 1977, that actually I had come to a place in my life where I thought it was too expensive to give the tithe at all. And we were in North Carolina in the Appalachian Mountains. Not a lot of money coming in. Actually, the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina is a very poor place to live. And so we had the four boys, and I just decided, I said, you know what? We just can't afford to tithe. Well, things got worse and worse. And then finally, they came and turned off the electricity. And it was a total electric house, and it was 20 degrees outside. And so Jeremiah, right there, he was only 2 years old. And I went into his bedroom, and he was under all these blankies. And he looked up and said, "Dad, can I have just one more blankie?" It's heartbreaking. I said, "Lord," kind of was a faith shaker for me. And so we went to church, and there was this Baptist flaming preacher at church. I mean, a flaming Baptist preacher. He had a handkerchief that he used to take the sweat off his head. And he started verse 9. This was the text. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." And he started screaming, "You're robbing God!" And I'm going, "Where can I go?" Well, I couldn't go anywhere. But I just kind of slipped behind the guy in front of me and tried to hide from the preacher, because this guy was really going. And I don't think I do it that way, do I? I'm kind of different. But we need these guys. This is a guy like Raul Ruiz, man. I'll tell you. Anyway, he's going and going. And the words are getting by the guy, right to my heart. So by the end of the sermon, opened my wallet. God had given us $70. I took $7 and I separated into the other part of my wallet. And that's the way it's been ever since. And you know what God did? He opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing on us, such as we didn't even have room enough to contain it. I overpaid the electric bill by accident, and they sent me a check. And I know that God arranged that just to let me know, now you're on the right track, dude. Yes, you're getting it right. It's like, and this is the way he described it. There used to be a song, "Silver Packages Wrapped Up with Strings," and nobody's really getting them because of lack of faith. It's an old song. Anyway, it's like there were silver packages wrapped up in strings, and God was holding them, waiting for me to trust him, waiting for me to test him. And I was failing that test to test him. He was testing me. And so that was like a constipation in heaven. I know that's kind of a rough word, but that's the way it was. He was unable to to open the windows of heaven because of my stubbornness. But once we got to that place through that, God bless him, that fiery-eyed Baptist preacher, sometimes God would bring you one of them, and it was so great to see what God did after that. And so I learned my lesson at that time, and now I'm learning a little more all these years later. You know, we never get there till we're there, right? But we got to learn to enjoy the journey. And so that's it. Now, I'd like to go ahead and share from the Old Testament an example of this. Let's turn to Haggai. Haggai is another prophet, and he's just two prophets back from Malachi. And Haggai and Zechariah were brothers in the Lord to actually help Zerubbabel and Joshua to rebuild the second temple, or to build the second temple. Let's put it that way. And he was told that the glory of the second temple will be greater than the first. Solomon's temple was outrageously opulent, kind of like Versailles in France, just gold everywhere. But the second temple is more modest. It was half the size. And the people, some of them had seen Solomon's temple, were kind of upset with that. But God said, the glory of the second temple will be greater than the first. And it's because Jesus Christ walked in the second temple, not the first one. Jesus, the glory of Almighty God, came to that second temple. Well, Haggai and Zechariah were sent by God to encourage these guys to get busy on building the second temple. They had given up on building the temple. That's what God had for them to do, but they just built their own homes and settled into their own homes and got busy with their own homes and forgot God's house. And so the Lord speaks to them now through Haggai, and we want to look at that. So we turn to Haggai and chapter 1. Now Haggai, again, is just right before Zechariah. It's a very short book. You might miss it if you don't look carefully. And we go to chapter 1, verse 3. It says, now came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell with your sealed houses, and this house lies waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much. You put a lot of seed in the ground. You planted it, but you bring forth little. You eat, but it's not enough. You drink, but you are filled with drink. This is verse 6 of Haggai 1. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Boy, that really jumped out at me, thinking about Jeremiah asking for another blankie. You clothe you, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, wages put into a bag with holes. You ever experienced that? You get your check and you cash it, you put the money in your pocket, and it's like your pocket's got holes. It's just, riches do make themselves wings and fly away. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house, which is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I called for a drought. Man, when I read that, I thought of California right away. I mean, on the signs on the freeway, we're told again and again, we're in a drought. I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground brings forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. And so the Lord held back and blew on things, and they became too little, and it was short. And so the Lord wants to take care of that. And so, you know, they began to consider, and praise God for Haggai, praise God for Zechariah, because these two prophets were able to encourage Joshua and Zerubbabel and all the people to get busy and build the house of God. And so we go then to the end of Haggai. We want to see the good news, what happened, and it kind of goes along with that scripture. Just see what I'll do. I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. And so he says in verse 18 of chapter 2 of Haggai, after they began building the house, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider it. I want you to think about this day when the foundation was laid. And then he says in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Yes, as yet in the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth. From this day of their efforts to build the house of God, will I bless you. And that's what he did. You know, the Bible says to give, and the Lord will actually multiply that gift. Pressed down, pressed together, and overflowing. It's what he says. It's promise. And does God lie? No, he does not lie. And so this is so important for the child of God to know about, especially if you have any kind of financial problems. Consider. It's like Jack Snow was always used to say to me, I can't afford not to tithe. I got to tithe, man, so God will bring forth the blessings in my life financially. And this is the way out. It is. It's hard to believe sometimes. I was sharing what God was giving to me. I have passion for it because it's fresh. And so I was sharing, and this one brother said to me, you know, I'm really convicted because I haven't been tithing. And he says, my girlfriend does. Man, she gets her check and she runs right to the bank and she gets the first 10% and she gives it to the Lord. And I said, you know, that's really biblical. And I took him to Proverbs chapter 3, or quoted that to him. I'd like to end with that today. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. So Proverbs in chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. I remember when Chuck was preaching on this one time. Yeah, Pastor Chuck, he had the guts to preach on this. So I need to do it too. But he said, you know, there's people that say they want to go with the New Testament on this. In the New Testament, they sold their homes and brought the money to the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed to the poor. I think I'd rather go with the Old Testament, you know. 10%, you know, instead of the sell my house, you know. Come on. So there it is. Well, let's go to Proverbs and chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. Don't look at the bills. If you look at the bills, you'll never do it. You got to just do it. It's a faith thing. It's to prove the Lord. Is God able to do this? You know what? I don't think that I've ever seen that we were going to make it on paper yet in all of these years of marriage. We're almost married 50 years now, baby. How about that? Yeah, golden anniversary coming pretty soon. The thing is, in all these years, I'm just honest, we have lived hand to mouth for 50 years. Yeah, it's just the truth. And I have never, even though it looked bad on paper, seen the Lord fail. He always comes through. He's the most through-coming person I've ever seen. He's our God. So we honor the Lord with our substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Oh man, what a promise. Could that really happen? Yes! And I'm here to bear witness that it's happened to us for years. So I want to encourage you. Get over it, man. He owed the first 10% to Jesus. And he will show you that you can never, ever outgive him. He's amazing. He's amazing. And so we want to pray for our nation. We want to pray for our President Trump and for the wonderful people that he's nominating to actually come to a place where they can seek God first. Let's pray. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, Father, that this whole election would turn into a revival, Lord, that Mike Pence could have influence on President Trump, and President Trump could grow. He needs to grow, Lord, in you if he's saved. And if he's not saved, he gets saved and begin to bow the knee to you. So this whole plan, which is a beautiful plan, would really work, would work. And Father, the people of America can find jobs. Everybody that needs a job could get a job and be blessed by you financially, Lord. We thank you that you have given the key to us Christians. If we'll just buck up and believe and do it, Lord, you do the rest. So Father, help myself, my brothers and sisters to stay on track with this, Lord. I just was hard on me to believe that I could get off track after all these years. But Lord, I did. But you brought me back. So Lord, bring us back again and again to really read your promises, believe your promises, and do what you say. So we thank you, Father. Do this nationwide, Lord. We pray for revival. And thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, at this time, we're going to take communion together. The way we take communion here is to pass out the bread. When we all are served, then we can take the bread at the same time. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, so much for this bread. Lord, thank you that in the original Last Supper that you broke the bread and you blessed it. You blessed the bread. So, Lord, please bless this bread, which represents your body, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, showing his death until he comes, in Jesus' name. Could you pray for the cup, brother? Okay. I'll just take my microphone off.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, we thank you so much for the message this morning, Lord, about giving, because you gave your very best. You gave your son as an indescribable gift. Lord, therefore, we approach this life in that fashion. What can we do for Jesus when we open our eyelids in the morning, where we just think about you, we think about others in this beautiful Christian life filled with your Spirit, and we just pray, Lord, and dedicate all of our finances to you and our lives, and we thank you so much for Jesus as the greatest gift for Christmas, Lord. Bless this cup, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's go ahead and stand for the taking of the cup. Jesus said, after dinner, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the New Testament, based on better promises, really, as we're told in Hebrews, and we'll get to that. In my blood, that is shed for the remission or the forgiveness of many sins, all of our sins, washed away, not just hid or saved, but washed away, that we might serve God with a clear conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. If you would desire prayer for anything today, the prayer room's always open for you. RJ's right on the job there. And yes, and if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior yet, oh, you don't know what you're missing. It's like our sister just said, what you waiting for? Oh, get going with the Lord. Find out the blessings and the beauty of His life with Him. So you can come up and to the prayer room and pray with the brother and sister in there. And you can get a Bible. If you need a Bible, we have free Bibles. We're just so glad to give you the Word of God. So may the Lord bless you and continue to lead you. And may God just pour out His Spirit upon you in a new, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.